Get ready to rock out with your talk out. It's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, and happy Halloween!
Woohoo!
We're going to have a good, fun show tonight. This is our 8th annual Halloween Spooktacular on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. And yes, we talk a lot about music on the show. Of course, it is the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, but we do like to mix things up and bring in, what, movies and different things like that over the years.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I think in the coming year you're going to see a little variation as we go as we move forward. But today we're going to be discussing serial killers. And in no particular order or anything like that, depending on where you're listening to this at, you may see the title as Most Interesting Serial Killers, Lily's Favorite Serial Killers, something like that. It's irrelevant.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Irrelevant. It's just a good time. And so I think that, you know what, there's a whole fascination with this topic, isn't there?
There's a lot of people who are into this.
Just
whole thing.
Like, I mean, tons of documentaries. Kevin and I were talking earlier today. About like all the like, there's tons of YouTube channels devoted to this subject. Just people
they've been analyzing them for years.
And I think because it seems so foreign to most people, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, sure. Other than our esteemed co-host Ted Kaczynski over there. So we got Ted Kaczynski all the way from New Orleans. What's up, Ted?
I'm ready to bang it up.
Okay, you're supposed to talk. Got to talk, Ted.
I'm gonna have some explosive things to say.
Oh boy.
All right, and we have a special in-studio audience tonight. We've got Pittsburgh Kevin here hanging out with us tonight. So he'll be chiming in a little bit later with his thoughts and insights. Guys, welcome back. It is Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Check us out at lulombardirocks.com. Shout out to Rock Rage Radio. They have the show on every week. We do appreciate that. So please patronize them. Go to rockrageradio.com, download the app. You can listen to great guitar-driven rock 24/7. And, of course, as always, our shout out to Wolf's Customs. Check them out, wolfscustoms.online. Get that custom paint job on your guitar or violin or oboe or triangle, right, Lily?
Yes, I like
or whatever
the triangle.
It is you play, snare drum, congas. Timpani, whatever.
Wolf's
Customs will do awesome customizing of your instrument, customized finish, customized paint job that will really make you stand out. And folks love that. You know, it's a visual thing these days, guys. You're doing your concerts on Zoom or whatever. People are scrolling by. You got to catch their eye. Have an awesome, cool, refinished guitar from Wolf's Customs. Wolf'sCustoms.online. Chris Thunderwolf Dodson. Tell them Ludini sent you. We have in the house, as I was saying, we've got Ted Kaczynski, a.k.a. The Hawk, a.k.a. Keith Hawkins. And we have Lily V6.
I'm the witch next door.
The witch next door.
I'm the one that breaks things that get thrown into my yard and throw them back.
I gotcha. So anyways, guys, we're going to have a good show tonight. We're talking about serial killers. And before we go get into like making any kind of list or anything, there's a lot of great movies mm-hmm. about real life serial killers. And we were talking about some of them. So let's just go around the room and maybe talk about one of your favorite serial killer movies that you really, really like. And just tell a little bit about it. So, Ted, what do you got?
They ever make a movie about me?
I don't know. You would know.
They should. But if pressed, I think I would like to mention Silence of the Lambs because it's one of them movies that it's just a great movie all around. It's well acted. I really like the characters in the movie. And, I mean, nobody really gets blown up in it. Which is kind of a drag, but it's one of those things where I just think it's a movie that just stands. I can still watch it to this day, even when I'm let out of my cell for a half hour a day. I try to catch as much as I can of it.
All right,
Lily, I've not watched it in 85 parts.
Yeah, it's very rewatchable. What about you, Lil? What's one of your favorites that you like to watch?
I'm not going
to
say a movie. I'm actually going to say a TV show.
Okay, that's fine.
American Horror Story Hotel. They actually have, in several of the episodes, they actually bring in the actual serial killers, like Eileen Wuornos is in the episode, Ricky Ramirez is in the episode, and they're playing themselves, but they're sort of like dead versions of themselves, which is pretty cool.
So. But it's not actually them, it's actors playing
them. Well, actors playing them,
of course. They don't like, yeah. You know, yeah. Gotcha. My favorite serial killer movie is, and I've probably seen it at least 5 times, and we'll probably watch it another 5 times, is Zodiac with Robert Downey Jr., Jake Gyllenhaal, and Mark Ruffalo. Just, it's a David Fincher film. Just absolutely fantastic.
That's a guy that I really like that movie too, Lou. Just to interrupt you for a second, I just wanted to say that the Zodiac is a good friend of mine.
You guys have dinner all the time, right?
One of the things I find so fascinating about that case is the fact that there was an eyewitness and who could identify the guy, and they never interviewed him until like 30 years later. And at that time, the guy that he identified passed away. It's a very, very, very interesting, very twisted kind of story. Like one of those like truth is stranger than fiction kind of stories, you know? Mm-hmm. Cool stuff. So we are going to be talking about very interesting, this whole topic about serial killers. And also, Lily is going to tell you why they kill. And so is Ted. Lily and Ted are going to get together here, and they're going to tell you exactly why these guys kill, right?
Sure.
You guys know, for sure.
I know everything.
They have it solved. They have it all figured out. That's why you tune into Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Go to LouLombardiRocks.com for more information. Okay, so let's get started tonight. I know Lily has a very comprehensive list
that
we may or may not get through.
Okay.
So let's start with Lily. And Lily, we could pick our favorite maybe at the end, but let's just kind of, in no particular order, let's get into serial killers.
I would like to talk about Elizabeth Bathory. She was a noblewoman from Hungary, and she killed over 650 women.
Wait a minute. Did she personally kill them?
She had 4 accomplices, but she was one of the ones that actually killed them. Basically what happened was she was a bored noblewoman. She had nothing to do, but she thought that blood of young girls made her younger. So she would at first
kill. It doesn't?
I think it does. I drink the blood of virgins every once in a while.
Wow, virgins.
Yes, yeah, specifically. But she would capture the peasant girls at first, and nobody cared about the peasant girls. She'd kill them, bathe in their blood, drink their blood, do whatever. So she was getting bored with that, so she started taking the noble women's and noble sirs' children and stealing them and killing them. And all the noble people in the world were like, why are our children disappearing? They caught her, figured her out.
It tastes very delicious.
Right. They caught her, figured her out. She didn't. The only thing they did was they didn't kill her or anything. They locked her in her castle for the rest of her life. Okay, she's a noblewoman. How bad could that have possibly been? She had a wonderful, fantastic castle. She just couldn't leave. Still had servants.
I don't know. Even a gilded cage is still a cage, Lily.
I suppose. But she still had servants. She still did what she wanted. She died just from being old. No other reason. But she got away basically with killing over 650 children to bathe in their blood. And she was also one of the inspirations, besides Vlad the Impaler, for Dracula. Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Well, there you have it. That's
one of the most psychotic women ever.
Yeah, you wouldn't want her to babysit your children.
I mean, depending, I guess.
You know, maybe if you were like Casey Anthony or Susan Smith.
She didn't do it, Lou. It was proven.
You know, maybe you could want Elizabeth Bathory to babysit your children. So, and that way you could hit the discos and stuff later on with your boyfriend.
And pretend I work at Disney World. Yeah, legit.
And
it's just pizza in the trunk. It smells bad.
Just a black guy did it. But that was the craziest thing about poor. Like everything's going on in the world today. You know, this was in the '80s, right? Susan Smith was the '80s. She wasn't.
Yeah.
She wasn't a serial killer. But Kevin and I were talking about this earlier. Like, you know, she's the, you know, stereotypical.
To go on with the charade, yeah, that her kids.
A black guy did it. You know, it's just like, come on.
Top.
Oh my God! So, anyways, so Ted Kaczynski, aka the Hawk, and by the way, guys, the reason I'm referring to everybody with these names is it's Halloween and we're all in costume here. Lily's got this very fetch, which get up, fetch. What movie is that from?
Fetch, Mean Girls.
Mean Girls. and the Hawk is not here. We have Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. So what's that, Unabonger?
Thank you very much.
What's on your list? Who do you want to talk about, other than yourself?
I want to talk about a dear friend of mine who I think I kind of was influenced by a little bit. We're both very sensitive, highly intelligent men. And this is a friend of mine, Ted Bundy, who in the 70s rained terror down on the states of Florida, Washington, anywhere he really felt like it. This guy escaped prison 2 times. He defended himself in court because he fired his public defenders and or his attorneys several different times. So he, the guy had the gift of gab, and he was also known as the lady killer. And he did like the ladies enough to kill 36 of them. So that's Ted is always going to go down in the annals of history, we'll say, until he was executed in the 89, I think,
89.
In Florida. Yeah. He got sparked up there by old Sparky, the electric chair, but he was executed. And, that was a sad day for me, but to see one of my friends go down in flames like that.
He was an escape artist too, wasn't he? Didn't he escape?
He escaped at one point. Yes.
He escaped twice. He escaped 2 different prisons. He didn't give a damn, he said.
And his was the first one fully televised. First trial fully televised. I thought that was an interesting fact. I also have his last meal, if anyone wants to know. I looked that up as well.
Who?
Ted Bundy's last meal.
What was Ted Bundy's last meal?
He chose to forego his last meal before the 89 execution, but he was still given the usual Florida death row meal of steak, eggs, hash browns, toast with butter, jelly, juice, coffee, and milk. But he did not eat it.
Yeah, that's very, that always freaked me out. Like, what would you eat? Like,
I don't know.
Could you even eat? Like, would you be like freaking out? I don't know. They have a lot of time. I mean, people sit on death row for a long time, so you probably have a long time to really sort of come to terms with it at some point, But we are, would you want to know when you were going to die?
I think I do. I would
want to
know. Yeah, I would.
I think you.
I'd want to mentally prepare myself.
What about you, Pittsburgh Kevin? Would you want to know what day you're going to? Would you want to know the day of your death?
Yeah, that way you know what to order.
That way you know what to order. What about you, Ted Hawk? Would you want to know the day of your death?
I mean, all I do is just sit in a prison cell all day. So yeah, it don't matter to me.
Doesn't matter. I can see we're not.
I'm dying on. Slowly on the vine, Lou.
Oh, my. That's just horrible. Horrible. But, the Bunster.
He was a good man. I don't think I'd fall for his ruse.
There's a interesting... Zach...
Efron.
Zach Efron has a... portrayed him on a Netflix. It's very uncomfortable.
I didn't see it. I want to see it, but I haven't
seen it.
It's
pretty good.
It's a little disturbing.
I've never really been I thought, he did a good job in it. I mean, it's not something I didn't really never thought of much of him as an actor. But I mean, that movie there is, he does a good job. He kind of fits that profile, so. Towards you.
Yeah. What was that?
I said he does a good job in that movie, Zac Efron.
Yeah. I wanted to see it. I haven't seen it yet. I was a little skeptical on it because he is in it, but it does make sense because he's a pretty boy. Like Ted Bundy was kind of a pretty boy.
Exactly. That's why it's beautiful. You wouldn't want to, Gary Busey's not going to play him anytime soon. So,
well, I guess
don't be getting on my man, Gary Busey.
And nothing against Gary Busey. I'm just saying he's not a real handsome man. You know what I'm doing?
So what's next, Lil?
I'm going to go with, I'm going to stick with the women. I'm going to go with Eileen Wuornos.
What, stick with the women? Oh, that's right. You said Elizabeth Bathory.
Miss Bathory. Lady Bathory. This one's known as the Damsel of Death. While working as a prostitute in Florida between 89 and 90, she killed 7 men, shooting them at point-blank range. And she later claimed, however, that all her victims had attempted to rape her and that she cried or carried out killings in self-defense. Now, this is a woman who did have a horrible childhood. She was... Her father died. Her mother gave her up to her grandparents. Her grandfather used to rape her. She got pregnant to one of her grandfather's friends.
Oh, my God.
So she had a really messed up childhood. She was arrested on an outstanding warrant, and that's how she got caught. She was seen in a bar. They caught her down the road from the bar. This is why you don't go kill and then go drink. Obviously, that's not a thing, at least not in a public place.
Hey, you might need a drink after you kill.
Then you go home, or you go hide out somewhere else. But anyway, she basically said,
Ted, you okay, buddy? Ted? Ted. Ted has disappeared.
He's okay. Well, she came clean about her motives, saying, I'd kill those men, rob them as cold as ice. I'd do it again, too, and there's no chance in keeping me alive because I'd kill again. And she was just sick of hearing that she was crazy because she did it on purpose. She didn't care. She was very cold-blooded, cold-hearted. She would do it again. So she was executed by lethal injection in 2002, and she actually only had a cup of coffee for her last meal. So,
you know, you need that caffeine in the afterlife, you know?
I'd like want a pot coffee.
She had a religious conversion at the very end as well.
They all do.
She did. And, you know, she was, as they say, led to the Lord by a minister. And I hope she found peace. I mean, it's
know what I say?
Terrible
at the
situation.
End of the day.
What?
He's not fooled. You see what I'm saying, too? And you see where I'm pointing? He's not fooled.
He's not fooled. He's pointing. All right, Unabonger. What's next?
I'm going to go with another personal friend of mine, the co-ed killer, Edmund Kemper. Edmund's a nice boy. He started his life very young, being abused. And then at one point, he killed his grandparents because, you know, that's what, you know, all normal, adjusted children do. Then he ended up killing his mother and her friend. And Edmund was known for, like, also killing young girls. That's why he went for the co-ed killer handle. Also, a very outgoing guy. So he also was a very big guy, about 6'10", 300-plus pounds. So this is, you know, a unique friend of mine. We used to go out and have, a couple golf lessons here and there. But he definitely is a guy that will stand in the go down in history as one of the most brutal serial killer, because he is a brutal dude.
What would you do? I mean, could you imagine being in some situation and you go like, oh, crap, this is that guy. Oh, no. Like, could you imagine, like, you just have the realization that this is that guy that, like, we have an APB out on, you know, whoever, and you realize this is the guy who's in my house and I broke into my house?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I would just let it happen because I'm like, at that point, I'm like, I'm not going to lie.
I don't know. I think you say that, but I think that you'd be freaking the F out.
Of course I would do that, but what am I going to do? I can't, like, jump out the window.
I mean, do you beg for your life? Like, what do you do?
I probably wouldn't do that. Honestly, I probably wouldn't do that.
I don't know, man. You hear about these accounts. We're going to talk. Somebody has to have BTK on their list.
I do.
Probably both you guys do. I mean,
your personal friend of mine.
Yeah, you know, you have what this
we
guy.
Get together and play golf.
Like, well, you see
these stories. You know, the guy gets. You know, chloroforms the guy, you or whatever, and then you wake up and you're tied up and you know it's going to be bad.
But at what point, like, what do you do, though, at that point? Like, what are you actually going to do? He's not going to spare you, so.
Did you see the Poughkeepsie tapes?
No.
You say you like serial killer movies.
I like horror documentaries.
You should see the Poughkeepsie tapes. Right. But, I always think about that. Like, what would you do? Like, you know, everybody, you know, you see these movies, like, and like people are like yelling, you know, run away, you know, punch him in the face, kick him in the nuts, whatever. But would you even think, you know, wouldn't you be so terrified?
Would you even think to do that?
You just, sometimes it seems like you could get away, but I don't, obviously you can't. They're able to overpower. I mean, a lot of these guys get like a sexual kick from doing killing. They find.
Even you overpowering know. You, just even having the ability to tie you up gets them off.
Yeah. Well, so there's somebody on the list, was probably on one of you guys' list. That's how the guy actually was able to get off. He couldn't get off, so he had to kill.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you got next, Kaczynski?
I'm going to go with a guy that, once again, another personal friend of mine. We used to hang out when he eluded the police for years. I mean, years. Gary Ridgway is the Green River Killer. I have 71 registered kills, but I mean, we're not keeping track. Who knows how many it is? I mean, this guy led a typical life as a family man, fooled everybody, you know, including obviously his own family, and just used to kill a lot of prostitutes and just dump their bodies in the Green River, hence the name. And
hence the name.
So 71 is the body count I have, but I mean, who's counting at this point? I mean, then he was finally apprehended, but took a long time.
Tell, how did he kill people? What did he do? Come on, guys, let's get into some like details. Details. I need details.
Gary Ridgway was a raper. He liked to rape and kill prostitutes.
How did he kill them? Did he strangle? Did he beat him over the head? Did he shoot him? What did he do?
I'll take a little bit of everything with this guy. I don't think he shot him. That's all I'm thinking. I don't know the exact. I wasn't there, man. I don't know.
Do you have any info on Gary Ridgway?
I have nothing on the Green Room.
Okay, so we're going to skip on to the next one. What do you got, Lily?
I'm going to talk about one.
I'm going to say strangulation.
Strangulation.
Probably. Usually in the rape sense that happens. I'm going to talk about one that I learned about in Boston. Not the Boston Strangler, but another female. Her name's Jane Toppin. After her arrest in 1901, she confessed to Jane Toppin, T-O-P-P-A-N. She confessed to 31 murders. What happened was her mother died when she was just a baby, and she found her father sewing his eyes shut, so he went to the psych ward. Then she went to an orphanage, was adopted by Ann Toppin, so she took her last name, and she ended up going to college to be a nurse, and she was this fantastic nurse, and everybody loved her until they found out that she was just killing them for fun with cyanide, switching their charts around so they all get the wrong surgeries and everything, and they just fired her from that hospital, and she ended up at Mass General.
Oh, it was a mistake.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So she got hired at Mass General, which is one of the biggest hospitals in Boston. And again, she was doing all those sorts of things. She was just medicating them to drift in and out of consciousness. She would get into bed with them just for, like, affection, because she never had any affection. And eventually she was fired from Mass General, and she got hired by to be, like, a personal care nurse. She ended up killing her landlord with strychnine, and that's how she got caught. And she was she was just happy that she killed people because she just wanted the attention, basically, because she had no attention as a child. And she would have she did not want to be put as insane because she wanted to be free to kill more people. But eventually they were saying she was insane. So she ended up in the nut house, which is where she died. But she said she would have killed more people. She was experimenting.
She enjoyed it.
She liked it.
It was fun.
She just wanted to do it. Because she could. And why not?
So the method wasn't as important as the fact that she was like opportunistic. She had this job where she could
have anything available. She could screw up surgeries. So somebody maybe who was getting like tumors removed would like just get like stitches or what have you. All because she was just, you know, lonely and had nothing better to do. So.
Do you think that this is a result of childhood, or do you think that there's something else going on?
I think maybe some of it, like maybe in Eileen Wuornos's case, in Jane's case, she sees her father sewing his eyes shut. That might screw you up at 4 years old. I don't know. I don't think it's always the case, but maybe these cases.
Because there's a lot of people who have screwed up childhoods, and they go the opposite
direction.
They're perfectly
normal. They're successful.
Or, yeah, they create, you know, they're like, you know, I was horribly brutalized or whatever, but, you know, I rose above it and blah, 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 blah. And then you got people that go the other direction. It's hard to understand what makes one person go one way and what makes one person go another way.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know. I think that's one of the reasons why we're so fascinated by it.
Because it could go either way.
What do you think, Ted? Were you screwed up as a child? Is that what happened to you?
Yes, but I also was a very gifted child.
Yes,
they didn't give me what I wanted. I mean, in fifth grade, I had an IQ of 167, which is higher than Einstein's. Just saying. I also was a Berkeley professor, and I went to Harvard. Now, what happened to me? I have no idea. Society happened to me. I was sick of society. People make me sick. That's what they say.
What's next on your list?
I'm going to go to another personal friend of mine. I used to have him come over to my kids' birthday parties all the time and be a clown. He was John Wayne Gacy, the killer clown. You ever hear of him?
Yes.
This guy, he was a upstanding citizen I mean, I don't know what happened to the guy. He kind of fell off the rails there, but that goes, you know, with the territory when you're going to hire young kids to work at your construction company, so you say, then you end up drugging them and killing them and putting them in your freaking mother's basement. But that's, you know, that's a whole other thing. But that's the Killer Clown for years, a.k.a. Pogo, was responsible for the deaths of many a young man. And usually his method of choice was drugging them. Strangulation was a big deal for him. A lot of rape going on. He just he definitely liked the young boys too much. I tried to talk him out of it. He didn't want to listen to me. So
I have his last meal if anyone wants to hear it.
Yeah, what is it?
Let's hear it.
Cotton candy.
12 fried shrimp, a bucket of original recipe KFC, french fries, and a pound of strawberries.
Mm.
He's a hungry boy.
Well, he was a kind of a bigger dude.
To help you with the bed.
Did you ever see the movie where Brian Dennehy plays him?
I will not watch anything about him.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I might have even been a TV movie.
There was another one made about him, too, with a guy that I don't even know who the hell it was, but playing him, and he was creepy as hell, though.
It's a, he did want to have sex with these young men. And you just kind of wonder if that was was he ashamed of his homosexuality? So, like, I have to kill you because I had sex with you because I don't want anybody to know that, you know, I have sex with gay or I'm gay or I have sex with men. I even hate to say gay because...
Nancy was married for a while.
It casts aspersions at gay people, which we don't want to do. But I'm just wondering if, like, that could have been the thought process behind somebody. What is going on over there, Ted?
His dog.
That was a dog fight.
He's having dog fights himself.
I stopped over for Mike Vick's house on the way here.
Not even cool.
You're such a supporter of freaking Mike Vick.
Sentenced to death, spent 14 years in death row, was executed on my birthday on May 10th. But yeah, there's this story always really disturbed me because, I mean, he would lure these guys there. And, you know, hey, let's get drunk, let's get high, you know. And then he would, you know, try to get, you know, in bed with them. Some of them were sort of willing and some were not. It all ended the same way, though.
He promised them all a job, too, though. A lot of them were drifters. He promised them a job.
Yeah,
He owned a construction company,
he was a contractor. Yeah, he had a construction company. He gave these guys jobs. If you're going to prey on people, you prey on people that are kind of like, you know, maybe itinerant. Is that the word? Kind of just passing through. Be hard to trace.
Yeah, man, that's the thing. You know, it's kind of like, it's almost like not as the same method as Jeffrey Dahmer, but close, I guess.
I think the mistake that you make when you do something like this is by burying the body so close to your, like, in your house.
Yeah, it is. Like, that would not, like, be my method.
That's like, that you're going to, you know, somebody's going to get caught. Yeah, well,
how he got caught. The smell came up from the basement through the furnace because the heat kicked on. The next thing you know, it smells like a goddamn, you know, dead body in your house. And his mother was so freaking old, I don't think she knew what was going on, but when the police started looking for these young guys, somebody tipped them off, and they go over to check out his house, and next thing you know, it's smelling like a freaking meat locker in the place, and then they got to go down there and, you know, dig up all these bodies, and they found however many he killed, because he buried a lot of them down there.
Yeah, you got to kill them either, like, there's an old expression, don't shit where you eat, you know? If you're going to kill people, don't do it at your house. Do it someplace else and let them. That's why the Zodiac. That was one of the reasons why the Zodiac got away with what he did for so long. Because he wasn't, like, bringing, you know, the bodies back to his house and playing with them or whatever he's doing. What do you got next, Lil?
I'm going to go with a gentleman this time. Mr. Dennis Rader, BTK killer. BTK is fine.
I like the Burger King BTK. That's my favorite.
Wow. Sorry. The BTK is
bacon, tomato, and ketchup.
Bind, torture, kill in this case. He killed 10 people in Wichita and Park City, Kansas. Sent taunting letters to police and newspapers describing the details of his crimes. After a decade-long hiatus, he resumed sending the letters in 2004. leading to his 2005 arrest and his guilty plea. He is serving 10 consecutive life sentences in El Dorado Correctional Facility in Kansas. But during his everyday life, he was mostly normal. He was a dog catcher. He was a compliance officer in Park City. He was even a member of the Christ Lutheran Church and became elected president of the church council and a Cub Scout leader. So he was sort of like the good guy on the surface. But then when he was arrested and describing all of these deaths, he seemed so very bored with talking about it. Like, and he's like, and this is what I did to this lady, and she struggled, so I beat her, and like things like that. He just seemed so bored. So he's sick. You could just tell he's just a sick man. He was in 2006, he was allowed access to television and radio to read magazines and other privileges for good behavior. So he is still in jail, but he's serving his time. He was in solitary for a while first before he was allowed TV and everything.
Earliest possible date that he could be let released will be 2180.
Yeah.
No
apologies either.
This gentleman is the one of the subjects of a very interesting and a really cool Netflix series, if you haven't seen it, called Mindhunter. Unfortunately, Kevin was telling me that they're not renewing it for a third season, so we're never going to kind of see it play out. But excuse me.
I heard that. That is a great series, and I wish it would continue. I know that whenever COVID hit, it just kind of, I heard, was suspended. But if they're not going to bring it back at all, that's a damn waste.
Yeah, because they were setting you up for the BTK. They were like showing like bits and pieces, and they were kind of getting you ready to like that they were going to probably explore that in the third season. And it's unfortunate because that's a great show. And if you're a serial killer buff like Lily is, it is definitely a series you want to see. Even though it's only the two seasons, it's the they give the history of the FBI unit that started to kind of put this idea of serial killers together by using psychology. And you get to see how in the beginning this was really like the old J. Edgar Hoover folks were not like, they were like, what? What are you doing? Like, psychologists have nothing to do with crime. Like, what are you talking about? But this really showed how it took a long time. But these methods are now the, like, go-to methods for how they, like, profile people and figure out who's doing what. It's very interesting if you've never seen it. But, yeah, so check that out.
Are you serious?
Who do we got next?
Blow your ass up.
Ted Kaczynski. Who do we got next, buddy?
You get that package I sent you. we're gonna stop going with the like one man, one woman show. I'm gonna bring a duo into it. This is the Daryl Hall and John Oates of Serial Killers. We're gonna go with the DC Snipers. So in 2002, these two reigned terror for 3 weeks in the Washington D.C., Virginia, Maryland area. And think about them is they eluded police by just changing vehicles. People thought it was a white truck for a while. They thought it was a white guy doing it, because 80%, if you don't know this, 80% of all serial killers are white male. Go to figure.
Yeah, the brothers don't get into serial killing that much. That's for sure. Yeah.
So John Muhammad and Lee Boyd Malvo were more of a, you know, older man influence a younger guy. It ended up being like to the point where I think he just brainwashed that poor freaking kid. And he was, I think, dishonorably discharged. John Muhammad, we're speaking of, dishonorably discharged from the military. He actually was in the first Iraq war, and they said he showed definite signs of being violent. Obviously, some of his military training paid off, because I hate to say this, but this guy would pick off people from several hundred yards. I mean, that takes some friggin' skill out of the back of a car, putting it through a hole this big and shooting someone that's just sitting there living their life, and then sometimes a moving target. Like I said, once again, at several hundred yards, this guy would snipe people with a high-powered rifle, and he was executed. Lee Boyd Malvo is actually still in prison, and I don't know what he is at this point, but they actually have 10 kills and several more wounded after that.
Yeah,
they taunted the police too with letters and different you can kind of try to, you know, try to catch us and just different little cryptic little sayings and things. So
they were, I remember when that case was happening and people were really terrified.
Oh, they probably frightened a lot of know, people. People wouldn't even go to the frigging pump gas or nothing, man. I mean,
didn't
they
know
were
who's gonna be
picking
next,
people
yeah.
off left and right.
And it was the reason they eluded was because they were doing it from a car, and one guy would be what hunkered down like in the trunk, they'd make a small hole just enough for the guy to put the gun barrel through.
It was
I hate to say use this expression, but it was kind of ingenious the way they
compare it to not a serial killer, but to compare it to someone like Lee Harvey Oswald. You ever shoot a gun before? I mean, it's not easy to keep that thing straight and shoot a target that could be moving. And sometimes you got a lot of things in your way. Something could, like, it could be really windy that day. There could be something in the way. I mean, these people have, the military definitely trains these guys, sometimes not for the better. But you know,
who was the guy that shot the students from the in Texas?
Kent State?
No. No, Kent State.
Nah.
That guy that, Kevin, you would know. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm trying to think of the Full Metal Jacket scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he names
him. But that we're guy, at. But a lot of these guys, some of these guys are able to do that, like Lee Harvey Oswald, were trained in the military. They learned to do that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you got next, Lily? Lily the Witch?
I'm going back to women. Sorry. Actually, one from Keith's area of the world, Madame Delphine Lillery.
Okay, I think I know you're talking about.
New Orleans Creole socialite and serial killer who tortured and murdered slaves in her household.
Spell that last name, Delphine.
L-A-U-R-I-E.
Okay.
She threw lavish parties all the time. She had many, many slaves. Basically, she was another one who thought if you put blood or drank the blood of young people or virgins, you would stay young forever. But they discovered bound slaves in her attic who showed evidence of cruel, violent abuse. Like, some would have broken bones and or sewn off limbs and re-sewn to look like caterpillars, spiders, different animals. She would put animal heads on them. Basically, completely tortured these poor slaves. And people only found out because her house caught fire. And she refused to give the keys up. Eventually, the citizens of New Orleans broke into her house and found all of this. She ran off to France and lived her lavish lifestyle till she died at around age 62, I think it was. But this is what she did to these people.
She was
horrible.
And it was, you know, this is how bad she was. Even other people that were slave owners and stuff were like, no.
Yeah, they were. I mean, what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah, that's like, they were like, even this is beyond.
She had
anything.
Her housekeeper chained to a sink in the kitchen. And
well, that's to make sure she keeps working. I mean, come on now.
Well, that's how the fire started, because the woman was trying to kill herself, but ended up setting the whole house on fire. But thankfully, that happened because they found out what kind of psycho she really was. And you can actually see the house in New Orleans. We passed it a couple times while we were there. So.
Yeah, there's a. I saw a YouTube documentary about this, and it was disturbing.
Yeah, she was a sick
lady. This woman was like, she really got off on that. And she would take, I believe she also took lovers up there. And, you
well,
know.
Well, there were, it was also rumored that
it was sexual.
There
as
were
well.
Slaves that were trying to be with her daughters or daughter, and those got tortured and killed. Like, she would chain them up, put them in little cages, you know. This was all for pleasure.
Definitely people in cages. That's what was found after the fire. These people got away with this stuff because they were very, very. She was married to a doctor, so I mean,
wealthy.
They were very high. Like, they were like high society people, and there was even stories where she would leave like these like real, you know, all the socialites are coming over to her house, and she has all these people chained up, and she had such an urge to do this torture of these people. She would have like this white, beautiful ball gown on and leave and go do her thing, come back and it's sprayed with blood, and she got to go change her clothes, and people are like, what the hell's wrong with this girl? But
what happened was other people had complained, other like socialites and stuff like that had been there and had seen stuff like that, tried to report her, but because of the status and the situation in which unfortunately, our country was in at the time with, you know, the way African-American people were treated. You know, it wasn't, you know, they didn't, well, you know, she's married to a doctor, and I'll, you know, come on, it can't be, you know, and it turned out it was. So
and
it's very unfortunate.
Never was punished for it. led her lavish lifestyle in another country.
So they got whisked away in a carriage when that place was coming under siege by all the people that were, they were going to put an end to their ass, but they got taken out. So yeah, that's they never even were punished for it. So that's a shame. But
it's a crazy story.
I love that. She's one of my favorites. She's one of my absolute favorites.
You gotta watch how you phrase that.
I don't care. I'm allowed to have favorite serial killers. I'm not brave enough to do it. All right.
What?
Is Pedro in that house?
He did. He did own that house. He does not anymore.
Who owned it?
Nick Cage.
Nick Cage. He lost it to the I think the bank owner. Who knows who owns it now?
That's why he's in all his bad movies now.
I think currently the town owns it.
Yeah.
Good. I'm gonna go stay there tonight.
No, you're not. All right. Speaking of Ted Kaczynski, what do you got, Ted Kaczynski?
I'm gonna go with. Give me a second because there's so many I have to deal with here.
You have to deal with. Keith is dealing with serial killers even as we speak.
I have one that I think that is not really popular, but I think this guy was definitely going to be the mic drop, if I have to say, of the body count. This guy was Pedro Lopez. He was known as the what the hell is his name? The South American Ripper.
Oh. I think it seems like the taco killer or something.
No, I don't think he killed that. A lot of people kill those tacos, especially Taco Bell, because they're so cheap.
We're
going to
get letters.
And that's the end of the Ludini references.
Between the ages of 8 and 12, that was his targets, and he was confessed to over 300 murders. That's a lot. I don't even know how you have the time. But the bad thing is, you can only be sentenced to so many years when he was found guilty of all this stuff. So he was released one time on $50 bail, $50 after killing all those people. And to this day, who knows where he's at because his whereabouts is unknown. So Pedro Lopez, 300 kills. That's crazy.
I was reading about another guy, very similar, South American, I believe, who...
Is this the one I think you're going to talk about?
Well, I'm going to let you kind of fill in the gaps here, but this guy right here.
Oh, no, I don't know that
Luis Garavito, the Beast, Colombia's world's worst serial killer. Was one of the world's worst serial killers. He was Colombian. He confessed to the torture and rape and murder of 147 young boys, but the number is believed to be over 300. That's why I was thinking of Keith and I was thinking of this guy, but he's a different person. Found guilty on 139 counts, which would amount to 1,853 years in prison, but Colombian law limits it to 30. So he was sentenced in 99. He could be released very soon.
What good behavior.
For good behavior. He hasn't killed any young boys while he's in prison. So, you know, he's been behaving himself.
Oh. Well, hell. I had no idea.
What do you got, Lily?
We're going to talk about the Night Stalker real quick. Richard Ramirez haunted the streets of L.A. during the 1980s. Over a little bit more than a year, he broke into several homes, killed 13 people. Used a wide variety of weapons, including handguns, knives, a machete, a tire iron, and a hammer. You know, things you could just sort of find around the home, except for maybe the machete. I know people who have that, though. He claimed to be a Satanist, but never expressed any remorse for his crimes. He had a prior criminal record for lesser crimes, which was the reason he got caught. A witness identified him or his vehicle. He was driving while fleeing a crime scene. And his license plate number led police to his file, which prompted a manhunt. Suddenly, the face appeared on the front page of every freaking newspaper, so everybody was out looking for him. A group of locals apprehended him when he tried to run. So, yay to the local people for being brave enough to stop him. They held him captive until the police arrived. I can't read because I'm old. He was sentenced to 13 death penalties and would not see a single one because he died while waiting on death row in 2013.
What did he die of?
I think it was a health issue. I want to say it was some sort of a cancer.
Do we have any, you want to, anybody shout outs or anything right now?
Actually, yes, we do. Chris Thunderwolf, Bill Damiano, Ashley Smash, who we haven't seen in 100 years.
Yeah, Ashley, what's up?
Michelle Wade had a couple people she wanted to talk about. Otis Toole and Henry Lee Lucas.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah. There's a great movie, Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. If you've never seen that, you need to watch. It's great. Have you seen that? Ever seen that, Pittsburgh Kevin? It's cool. Death by Television. There's an amazing scene in there.
And that is all I have.
We're going to go. We're getting last one. This is your last one, Hawk. Ted. Huh?
Ted. Ted. Theodore. Dear.
We're going to switch gears after our last one here. So.
Did you get that package I sent you? This one in 2018 was finally captured. But for 44 years, a good friend of mine, Joseph James D'Angelo, I'm getting a job at UPS this summer.
You are?
Yeah.
Did they check your background on that first?
They did, but they're really, really desperate for people.
So Keith, I had a slight issue, technical issue. I want you to go ahead and tell us about Joseph James D'Angelo one more time. Sorry, guys, if you're listening to the recording, we had I clicked the wrong thing and paused actually just as you started that. So just kind of give us that again. This guy was he was a cop. What was he? Tell us this again. Sorry about that.
Yeah, he was a cop that got fired for just a bunch. I have no idea why he was fired, to be honest with you. You'd have to look it up, but he was fired at being a cop. I know he was a former police officer, was fired in 1979 and just became very disgruntled. He had a very petty crime actual history, you know, after that. So he went, and his thing was he would go enter homes and make the man, if it was a couple in the home, he would make the man lay on his stomach, put a stack of dishes on his back, and then go into another room and do his business with the woman, rape her. But he would tell the guy before he left, if I hear these dishes fall, then I'm killing both of you. So, but his thing was he never left Prince. Being a former cop, I guess he knew the ins and outs of how to get away with shit. 44 years, he looted the police, and then he was captured in 2018.
What I wanted to ask you was, did he leave the man alive and just kill the woman, or what did he do?
Sometimes he would kill both, and then sometimes he left. You know, people did survive his attacks. So.
I guess that,
he was just scared off sometimes, you know, whatever happened, you know.
Yeah, he was like in a hurry, need to get out of there. Maybe a neighbor was coming by or something. Okay.
Yeah.
So he wasn't able to get around to killing everybody.
I don't know his. I don't have his actual body count there, but I mean, it's probably a lot.
Last one. What's your last one, Lily?
H.H. Holmes. Who is my favorite serial killer? I don't care. I'm saying it. He's my favorite because he's a genius. First of all, he was an insurance scammer. That's how he got all his money. Then he buys this gigantic building during the Chicago World's Fair, the very first World's Fair, where he built this beautiful hotel, but it was a trap. It was a murder hotel where he had like gas rooms and torture rooms.
He had secret chambers.
Yeah, secret chambers. There were chutes that went down to the basement so he can incinerate the bodies. He was like one of the smartest people alive. He eventually got caught though because of the insurance scams, not because of the murder so much. Mysteriously, the hotel burned down right before, you know, he got executed. He got caught. He got hung, would not allow anyone in his grave, so he insisted they pour, you know, cement into his tomb because he didn't want to be studied. He was really freaked out about an autopsy. So that happened. He got caught. There's a whole lot more to say, but we don't have a whole lot of time.
We got time. Go ahead. No. That's why I wanted to wrap it up in just a couple more. But go ahead. No, this guy's really interesting. Go ahead. Elaborate.
Mostly, he had several wives because this was part of his scam. So he had wives all over the place.
Different cities.
Yes,
and stuff,
so yeah. He had insurance policies out on all of them. Killed a couple of them so he could get some money. Just, he was very suave. Not like attractive in the Ted Bundy kind of way, but just like still a lady killer. And he was just very smooth talker, kind of just really smart in that way. He was actually buried 10 feet deep, like I said, with the cement on top of it. His neck didn't snap immediately when he got hung, so they just sort of let him hang there for a little while, just kind of like chilling till he did die.
Chilling?
Yeah. For about 20 minutes. Interesting read on him if you do want to know a little bit more is read The Devil in the White City. It goes back and forth between what's going on in the World's Fair and what's going on with him that does correlate to the World's Fair.
Well, it was a jackpot because you know, he'd built this hotel and everything, and it was like okay. But when they brought the World's Fair to Chicago, it was like he was like aha. It's like it's like Dudley Do yeah. or not Dudley Do Right. He was the dastardly
yeah.
whatever you know rubbing his hands together.
He also owned the drugstore underneath the hotel. And what was the other thing that was interesting about him that I can't even
think
about?
Well, he claimed to be some kind of like medical person like that, and.
Yes.
He was not.
he actually was. He actually did know how to do stuff medically. That is why
but
people think...
But he wasn't, like, licensed or anything.
No. He just was very skilled in surgeries and everything. And that's why people think that he was Jack the Ripper, because he was in London at the time the Jack the Ripper killings were going on. He was not in America. And he was doing what Jack the Ripper was doing here, there. So, like, he had the skills that Jack the Ripper had, so they think that, and it was the same
He
time.
Just... if that was true, but he just had a killer setup in Chicago with this hotel. I mean,
oh yeah, for sure.
And also, like, there's stories in this book about him, like, you know, he had the children of this one wife and he took them to the parents of this other wife and left them off. I mean,
he killed the kids.
This guy had freaking cojones. Like, when you read what you go, like, holy cow, the balls.
It never gets boring.
this guy had, he was just so bold. And I think as time went on, I think that he got, he was too bold. It, like, you know what I mean? Like,
it got too ahead of him.
He didn't, yeah. And that's the thing with these guys is because there's like an addiction, they can't stop doing it. They can't just go like, okay, I better stop now before I get caught. No.
He just kept going.
They gotta keep going because they got to feed the monkey. it is an insane story. And if this would get made into a movie, it would be
insane.
It would be really good. It would be really, really. It would be a great story. I just want to mention at the end is Albert Fish, who tortured and killed all kind of people.
He's sick.
American serial killer. One of the things though that he did, which was absolutely horrible, was he. This little girl went to her, met her parents and everything like that and said, oh, I want to take your daughter to a birthday party. Then he took her back to his house and he killed her and ate her.
Ugh.
And wrote detailed account of it and sent it to her parents.
And he's a scary looking man too.
I mean, yeah, I mean, like, again, just like the unmitigated, like, balls.
No remorse.
That is a whole other. I mean, we've all done things in our lives where, you know, maybe we're not completely, acting like an asshole or whatever. But this is a whole other level. I think this is why it fascinates everybody so much. It's like, we just can't get our minds around the sort of how do you get there in your life? Like, how do you get to this point where, like, in your mind, that's okay to kill a little girl and then eat her? And he wrote about how good her butt cheeks tasted and everything and sent it to her family. I mean, it's jacked up. Where do you, how do you get, you know, that's insane.
How do you wrap your mind around
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's just.
How do you justify that being okay?
Guys,
it's almost impressive, as impressive as Jack Ripper being able to probably take out someone's kidney or uterus in the dark in less than 10 minutes. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, you really got to have some skills there.
Well, anyways, guys, Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Chris Thunderwolf Thoxton says that Jeffrey Dahmer wrote a song. Oh, that's right. Jeffrey Dahmer did not write a song. Slayer wrote a song about Jeffrey Dahmer called 213. So Jody Farlizzi says Lou the Rastafarian. Yes, I am tonight. I am the bong and joint specialist. That is my costume for Halloween. A couple things I want to do is switch gears here on the way out. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. You can go to LouLombardiRocks.com. Get more information about everything we have going on. Also, want to hit on a couple of things. We can bounce this around the room for a minute here. This Day in Music. This Day in Music, 31-year-old Salvador Philip Bono married 18-year-old Sherilyn Sarkissian
LaPierre.
For a time, they performed together as Caesar and Cleo before changing the name of their act to Sonny and Cher. Their union lasted 12 years.
Aww.
And this day in 1969, Muddy Waters was seriously injured in a car crash in Champaign, Illinois. Ironic. Did he not write the song Champagne and Reefer?
Did he?
Is that a Muddy Waters song? I'm pretty sure it is. After releasing the single and album Born to Run, Bruce Springsteen had the rare honor of simultaneous covers on both Time and Newsweek magazines in the U.S.
Fancy.
The film.
I was on the cover of Time magazine too.
Yes, our esteemed co-host. You too. Rattle and Hum was had its world premiere today in 1988.
I was seven.
I know. Scott Weiland makes today's list for two reasons. First of all, it's Scott Weiland's birthday. Happy birthday, Scott Weiland.
Happy birthday, Scott. Did you get that package I sent you?
Also, apparently he did because he did. Scott,
I will not admit to that one.
Also on his birthday, he was arrested after being involved in a traffic collision where there were drugs and alcohol involved. Charges were later dismissed.
Who hasn't?
He ran headlong into a crack pipe.
Birthdays today include the country pianist Floyd Kramer, bassist Gary Talent, guitarist KK Downing, breaking the law, Peter Dodd from the Thompson Twins. Lily said she does not know who Simon Le Bon is.
I don't listen to Duran Duran.
What? You don't have to listen to the band to know who it is. You don't know who that is?
Okay. I would have had no clue.
Goodness gracious.
I don't know their names.
As we already said, Scott Weiland, happy birthday. And Kelly Osbourne.
Yay.
Happy birthday to Kelly Osbourne, born this day in 1984.
Well, good for her.
A very momentous and exciting time in rock. Oh, cereal! Because what are you guys doing for Halloween?
I believe I'm going to Fright Farm for a party.
Fright Farm. Welcome to Fright Farm.
It's not Fright Night.
Fright Farm. Where's Fright Farm?
Oh, it is far ass away. I don't know. Somewhere in the sticks.
Is it like open to the public or is this a private thing you're going to?
I think what I'm going to is private, but their haunted stuff's open.
Oh, so is that open?
Yeah, like the corn maze and the hay
rides. Do you know if Cheeseman's is going?
That's in Connellsville, I think. In that area.
I think that's where I'm going. Lawrence County.
Lawrence.
Portersville.
Yeah. No, that's Cheeseman's. Portersville's Cheeseman's.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm going to. Okay. Cheeseman's Fright Farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cheeseman's. Okay.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's where I'm going.
I can't go to those things anymore. What about you?
Why?
What about you, Keith? What are you doing? Do you guys do anything for Halloween?
Me? I'm going to blow some shit up.
You're going to blow some shit up? Ted's going to blow some stuff up.
I mean, you do that every year. Can't you think of anything?
Come up with something better.
I'm just going to, hang out. I mean, we don't get any, kids here. Believe it or not, I've had no trick-or-treaters in the last 2 years. So I don't even buy the candy now. Because, too, if I don't get any trick-or-treaters, then I end up eating this shit, and that's ridiculous. And so Samantha has to work. I'll probably just play drums and, I don't know, do a knuckle shuffle on my piss pump. I don't know.
Is that one of my victims? Shut up!
Knuckle shuffle. That's going to be the name of my next band, Knuckle Shuffle.
I took that from Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh, and my show is still going on in November. So, yay, 3 days of fun, 5th, 6th, 7th.
Okay. That is the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th.
Of November. Hot Licks with Lily 6200 show celebration at the Subalpine.
So guys, make sure that you attend. You can hit us up for more information on that. And Lily, what about your show?
Show is Hot Licks with Lily 6 Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern on Rock Ridge Radio. Get the app Rock Ridge Radio or go to rockridgeradio.com. Sorry, I'm losing my voice.
Okay, and we have, just so you know, guys, this podcast has been around a while. We have 618 episodes to our name and over 123,000 downloads.
That's crazy.
So ain't no joke. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus is here. It's going to keep going on.
Yeah.
We are going to be doing some fun stuff in 2021. We're going to make sure we keep you entertained, even if the rest of the world is still being kind of like a wah-wah about the situation. We're still going to be around, and we're going to still keep you guys having a good time as well. That shout out to Rock Rage Radio. As Lily said, you want to go to rockrageradio.com and download the app.
It's free.
It's free. The Halloween, I don't know. Maybe I'll go to Cheeseman's. I have a hard time going to those things, though. Like, I don't like the people jumping out at me. I'm just like, eh.
You're over it.
I'm kind of over it.
I got you.
Like like haunted houses and all that stuff. I'm just like kind of like a little like, you know, done with it. I'd rather sit like watch a movie.
You'd rather get drunk.
And get drunk. Well, you can get drunk there too. They have apples. They have that strong cider and stuff. And they got they have some. What's cool about Cheeseman's is the line is really long, but you can go get snacks and stuff while you're waiting in line. They try to make it as enjoyable as possible. People playing music and stuff like
that. We're doing a hearse convoy.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun. And so the Unabonger is not doing anything because his wife is working.
He has to watch the puppies.
You're not going to blow anything up that night?
You get that package I sent you? No, I'm not going to do nothing.
Well, that's terrible.
I'll probably watch the I can't watch the Halloween marathon because, to be honest with you, I think Halloween and Halloween 2 are about as far as I can get. I can't get through the rest of them.
Aww.
This is Halloween.
All right, Hawkhead.
I know you like Halloween 3, but man, you got bad taste in flicks anyway.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to do is watch Halloween 3 and The Relic back to back.
Oh, boy.
That's a night right there.
It is.
All right, guys, you've been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Go to LouLombardiRocks.com to get more information about everything we have going on. And we are going to get the hell out of here. You guys have a great Halloween, and we will talk to you on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Take care, guys.